Practice Test 7. Listening. Part 2. In this part of the test, you will hear 4 short talks. After each talk, you will hear some questions about it. Before each talk begins, you will have time to preview the questions that are printed in the test booklet. Read the questions silently. Then listen to the talk. You can take notes in the booklet. Then listen to each question and choose the best answer from the answer choices. Mark your answers. You should mark A, B, C, or D. There are a total of 20 questions about the 4 short talks. Look at the questions. Then listen to a tour guide talking about a famous landmark.
Okay, we are now standing outside the Empire State Building, one of the most famous buildings in New York. When it was opened in 1931, the Empire State Building was the tallest building in the world, and, can you believe it, took only 13 months to build. That's fast even by today's standards. Teams of engineers and workers worked nonstop, and the building was finished 5 months ahead of schedule. The Empire State Building kept its record as the world's tallest building until the 1970s. Today, although it's no longer the world's tallest building, it remains a symbol of New York City, and millions of people visit it every year. We're going to start our tour with a visit to the exhibition on the 80th floor, which is called Dare to Dream, where we'll learn more about the history of this world-famous office building. By the way, a visit to the gift shop is usually the last stop on a tour, but since it is also located on the 80th floor, it's a good idea to visit it when you come out of the exhibition. Then we'll go up to the observatory on the 102nd floor. That's the top floor and the highest point tourists can reach in Manhattan. After that, we'll be stopping for lunch at one of the restaurants on the ground floor of the building. Those of you who are continuing with me to the Statue of Liberty, meet back here at 1 o'clock. Now, are there any questions before we go in?
Number 31. How does the speaker feel about how fast the Empire State Building was built? Number 32. What does the guide say about the Empire State Building today? Number 33. When does the speaker suggest buying souvenirs? Number 34. What will happen after the group leaves the building? Look at the questions. Then listen to someone announcing a new TV documentary.
Good evening and welcome to What's On, our weekly TV update. Tomorrow night, a groundbreaking new documentary series will be aired at 9 o'clock. It's called Today's Child and follows the development of 18 children from birth to young adulthood. The participants, who are all 3 years old now, were born in the same week, but come from different families and social backgrounds. In the first episode, we meet the families and see them going about their daily routine during the first year of their babies' lives. The babies and their parents are also put through various psychological tests. Basically, the aim of the series is to try and answer an important question. What plays a bigger role in the development of personality, our environment, or our genes? We get our looks from our parents, but can we also inherit personality traits, such as a bad temper or a lack of self-confidence? The program, however, has come in for some criticism. The series has already been widely advertised, and the faces of the children and their families can be seen on billboards everywhere. Some people feel it's unfair to put these children's lives under the spotlight in this way. One family even decided to drop out of the series because they were worried about the effect of being recognized on the street. Whatever the rights and wrongs, it sounds fascinating and is definitely worth a look, so you can make up your own mind. That's Today's Child, Tuesdays at 9 p.m.
Number 35. What is the speaker's main purpose? Number 36. What does the first episode show? Number 37. What is the main focus of the series? Number 38. Why does the speaker mention being recognized on the street? Number 39. What does the speaker mean when she says,
"Some people feel it's unfair to put these children's lives under the spotlight in this way"?
Look at the questions. Then listen to someone talking to the staff at a meeting.
Are the department heads here? Good. Let's start then. As you know, the company has been looking into the idea of allowing employees to work from home. This is becoming popular in big companies like ours, and new technology means that many employees can do their jobs just as effectively outside of the workplace. So I've called you into this meeting to inform you that we have now decided to pilot home working for selected employees. This is just a pilot program. We'll do it as an experiment for a 3-month period to see how well it suits us and our staff. If it is successful, we will make it a permanent arrangement. During this trial period, employees may work from home for up to 3 days a week. They will still need to come into the office on the other two. For the moment, we are not planning to allow employees to work completely from home, but that is something we may reconsider at a later date. Now, the first thing I would like each of you to do is to identify which members in your department would be able to work from home. Obviously, staff at the reception desk cannot do their jobs from home, but our graphic designers, for example, probably could. I need you to explain our plans to these employees and find out who would like to take part in the trial. When you've spoken to them, send me the names of those who are interested by email, and we'll schedule a further meeting for them. I do want to make it clear that participation in the pilot program is voluntary, If someone prefers to continue working at the office for whatever reason, then that's absolutely fine.
Number 40. What is the speaker's role in the company? Number 41. What will happen during the pilot program? Number 42. What does the speaker suggest might happen in the future? Number 43. What should the department heads do next? Number 44. What is the speaker's purpose? Number 45. What does the speaker mean when she says,
"I do want to make it clear that participation in the pilot program is voluntary."
Look at the questions. Then listen to a swimming coach talking to some swimmers.
Welcome, everyone, and congratulations on being accepted to the Hartford High swim team. My name is Chris Bolton, and I'll be your coach this year. I'm taking over from Coach Johnson, who has moved on to coach the college team. I'm new to Hartford High, but I've been a swimming teacher for 15 years and a coach for 10. I've coached swimmers who have gone on to win medals in some of the most prestigious competitions, and I hope we can work together to achieve similar results. Coach Johnson has told me all about you, and I believe we've got some terrific swimmers on this team. I know you made a lot of progress last year. We still have a way to go, but I'm confident we stand a good chance in next summer's championships. Of course, success in competitions is very rewarding, but that's not the only reason we're here. I firmly believe that it's vital that you enjoy training, so we get to have fun as a team along the way. Now, I just want to remind you of some of our rules and regulations. I need your medical forms signed by your doctor before next week's training session. No one gets into the pool unless I have a copy. As far as attendance goes, no one misses training without good reason. And if this happens often, you'll be cut from the team for the next competition, however good you are. Okay, now I'd like to talk about our first swim meet next month.
Number 46. Who is the coach speaking to? Number 47. How does the coach feel about his job? Number 48. What does the coach say about winning competitions? Number 49. What must the swimmers do before the next training session? Number 50. Why does the coach mention being cut from the team?